to Randy for our children's church. Hey, Willow. All right. No, it's on her shirt, Teresa. Don't get all excited. We are continuing our series, Fresh Starts, Part 3. First week, we talked about new direction. Second week, we talked about new mind. We skipped last week because of snow. So this week, we're talking about new choices. Now, I think we all understand how important our choices are, and that whatever we choose to do is usually what outcome we get. And we have more control over our choices than we really think we do. You know, we blame the devil, he made me do it. We blame my grandma because she gave it to me. We blame our genes. We blame our marriage. We blame our children. We blame our church. But choice comes back to us making a decision. And I want to start out by making a quote, Ashley, if you can do my slides. Look at this first quote. This is by Henry Ford. Everybody knows Henry Ford. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Think about that. If we keep doing the same thing over and over, we're going to get the same result over and over. So we have to choose to do it differently. If it's not worked before, it's probably not going to work tomorrow just because it's Monday or it's Tuesday or because it's summertime or it's wintertime. If we're making the same decisions over and over, we're going to reap the same results over and over. So in order to get out of that cycle of reaping bad stuff, you know, some people say, I just got bad karma. You know, just everything bad happens to me. I got a black cloud. Nothing ever works out. Let's go back and see what choices we're making to produce those results. If we go spend more money than we have in our checking account and we bounce and we get a $38 fee, don't be cussing the bank out. That is not the bank's fault. Now, if you got a good bank like me, they might work with you and say, you know what, I'll credit you some of that back. You've been a good customer, you know, if you sweet talk them and all that good stuff. Threaten them with hell. No, I'm playing. If you do all that stuff and talk to them, they might help you out. But it's not the bank's fault. You made a choice to spend more than you had. And now you're reaping overdraft fees, whatever it is. You're reaping and can't pay your bills. You're reaping the creditors calling you because you made a choice to extend yourself beyond what you could. We make choices with people in life. We choose to be friends with people. We choose to marry people. We have all kinds of choices. We choose our jobs of where we go to. And what frustrates me, this is something that really frustrates me. I've always loved what I've done, so maybe that's why. I loved when I worked at Food Line. I loved when I worked at Walmart, and I love being a pastor. I really do. So I've always been fulfilled in what I've done. But when I talk to people and they hate their job every day, you made a choice to be there. So what you got to do if you hate it, choose to do something that you don't hate so much. It's out there. There are people. It used to frustrate me as a manager, everybody complaining at Food Line or Walmart. I said, why are you here? If you hate it so bad, why are you here? Well, I got to make money. Well, choose to be happy. You're making money. You're getting a paycheck. We make choices on everything that we do. I made a choice to buy a Jeep Cherokee after my mechanic told me he loves Jeep Cherokees because he would be seeing me all the time. I went and told him, I said, hey, Wilkie, something about getting a Jeep, what do you think about them? You know, are they pretty, you know, Jeep Cherokee, what do you think about them? Getting his, you know, surrounding myself with wise counsel, right? Go to a mechanic. I got a Jeep Cherokee I'm thinking about buying. What do you think about Jeep Cherokees? He grinned like a cat with a bird in his mouth. He goes, I love Jeeps. I'll be seeing you all the time. And he told me, said, man, so that the transmissions are good, and that 4.0 inline six you got is good, but said everything else will wear out before that does. So what does James Lewis do? I'm getting a Jeep. I don't care what Wilkie says. I want me a Jeep. I've always wanted one, by George. It's on my bucket list. I'm going to have me a Jeep. And I got a good low miles Jeep. You know, it was pretty. It was cool looking. You know, it was a little different. It was fairly low miles, and it wasn't but just a few. In fact, the day I bought it, the check engine light was on. The day I bought it. So I took it back down to Mooresville, and apparently he fixed the issue. But looking back, I was just an idiot. All I did was reset the light, I'm sure. So, but within a few weeks, had to replace a sensor. Then a few months went by, another sensor. A few months by, another sensor. Then I had a power window go out, another power window go out. And man, I would tell you, it was in the shop. I had it for 5 years, and it was in the shop a lot. I can't blame Jeep for that, not really. My mechanic told me he'd see me a lot. And I chose my arrogant pride of looking chill in a Jeep, thinking, oh, well, he may see them, but he's not going to see me a lot because my Jeep's special because I'm a child of God. And you know what? I'll have a good Jeep. And here I made a choice to choose something. My mechanic said he would see me a lot. He sure did. We make choices. You know what I got now? My head gasket blew in Charlotte. That's why I don't have it no more. I mean, that pretty much did it, right? I'm on I-277 on the Beltway right in downtown, uptown Charlotte. Five lanes across there, filled with traffic. I was coming out from the hospital to see someone, and I see smoke coming out of my hood. I'm like, this ain't good. And I could not get over because I'm on that Beltway. I don't know where to pull over. So I get back on 77. Still, the first exit I could get to get over was Sunset Boulevard. So I pull into Hardy's parking lot and park. This thing is smoking like biscuits in an oven burnt. I mean, bubbling. Making all kinds of, I was scared it would blow up, man. I went inside. I mean, everything was making all kinds of noises. I called Melanie. She's here in Staples. So you got to come get me. Had my Jeep towed. Wookie said, yep, it'll cost you $900,000 to fix it. I'm like, plus my air done went out, so I didn't have no air either. I went, $900 to $1,000. And my air already wasn't working. I hadn't fixed it yet because that's going to be hundreds of dollars. And so I've been going around just, you know, sweating. And, trying to keep the windows down. And so when that head gasket blew, man, you know who I sold it to? My mechanic. That's who bought it. He made me offer. I said, man, take it. Just take it. I've had it 5 years. I've got my, just take it. You know, here, I'll take that offer. And just, he towed it for me and got it, you know, all that. So you know what I went and got? I went and got a Nissan. I got me a Nissan, man, my first foreign car. And I said, I'm getting me something that's going to run, hopefully, and last. And so far, it's been good. And I made a different decision this time to get something that has a better name to it than what I had. So our choices are very important. And if we keep doing the same thing over and over, and spiritually, if we keep doing the same choices over and over, if we're in a situation that God's telling us to get out of, but we're staying in it, we're making the same decision. If God keeps speaking to us and we keep rejecting him, we're making the same choice. If our routine and our habits are the same, if there's strongholds in our lives, if there's habits, if there's addictions, if there's things, if there's vices in our lives that are holding us back, and we keep doing those same things, we keep getting those same results. The reason that the jailhouse was full and they're expanding now and building a whole new jail down there is because people keep making the same choices, and they're getting the same results. When they break the law, they get arrested. So what they do, they break the law again, and they get arrested. What they do again, they break the law again, and it's a total cycle. Don't blame the police. Don't blame the jailers, and don't blame the system. Look at yourself and say, I'm making these choices. Now, I'm 46 years old, and by the grace of God, I've never been arrested. Never been arrested. I don't worry. I don't do this when a cop comes around. Hope you don't see me. I ain't going the other way. Because I don't have nothing to hide. And that's a beautiful way to live. To be free. To make a choice that I can have cop friends and not worry about them frisking me or following me on my driveway or putting an eyeball on me or where I go. Because I'm not breaking the law. I'm making choices to do what's right for that aspect. So we make choices. Henry Ford said it best. Always do what you always done. You'll always get what you always got. Let's start Deuteronomy 28:1. This is back, of course, in the Old Testament. Moses wrote this. And this is a word from God to children of Israel, but it very much applies to us today, I believe, as well. It says, it shall come to pass if you will hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord. This is the key part of these next two verses, the voice of the Lord. Hearken, listen to the voice of the Lord, thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which he has commanded. Ashley. This day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. What does this tell us? Choose to listen to the voice of God, and as we do that, our lives will be honored. And we know that. How many times we look back in life and said, I wish I'd have made a choice to listen when God was speaking. Man, God was telling me this, and I did it anyway. God was convicting me, and I did it anyway. God kept dealing with me, and I just ignored him dealing with me and did it anyway. And then We want to blame, why is God not answering my prayers? Why is God not hearing me? Why is God not helping me? We make the choice. Verse 2. All these blessings. Go back, Ashley. I hadn't read that one yet. Let Ashley do the slides, but I want her to do the slides, and I told her to do the slides. All these blessings shall come on you, overtake you, if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord. Choose to listen to God. But we don't like that, because our rebellious nature rises up and we don't want no instruction. We don't want any counsel or any teaching. There are so many marriages that I know of that when they try to go to counseling, usually one of them doesn't want it. And that's the problem. Either the husband will want it, the wife don't, or the wife want it, the husband don't. A lot of times I see that where they're divided. One wants it and one don't want it. If we don't want it, we're not going to reap the benefit of trying to get it. We are choosing to ignore counsel, to ignore instruction. We are choosing it. I've said before, I used to get speeding tickets all the time in my younger days. I still go too fast, but that's been very fortunate lately. But for years, I used to get speeding tickets. And I've told you before, I never once blamed the cop for that. I mean, I used to get frustrated thinking, man, here's a guy going 90, don't get pulled, or a guy zigzagged out of traffic, or, you know, I'm going 15 over, good citizen, you pull me. But you know what? I was speeding. There was never a ticket I got I wasn't speeding. Ever. I was speeding. I chose to go past what the speed limit said, and I get a big old fat ticket. That's on me. That's not on them. I made that decision. If you will hearken the voice of your God. Next scripture. Look at this. This is Deuteronomy 30 and 15. He says, see, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Make a choice to choose God's way, God's word, God's voice. How many things could we have saved ourselves from if we had hearkened to the voice of God when he was speaking? How much tragedy we could have saved? How much damage we could have, you know, not had to go through? How much pain we could have not endured if we would have done this and says, you know what, I'm going to choose life and not death. I'm going to choose the way of God and not the enemy. Choose this way that both you and your seed may live. This is why the Christian can have peace in a world full of sorrow. This is why we can have joy. This is why we can have power. This is why we can still get through life with all the junk around us and still be able to function, because we serve a God that we know is on our lives and that we have chosen to follow him, to listen to him, to serve him, and he's going to pull us through. Because my eyes are on him, not the world. My eyes are fixed on the Lord. They're not fixed on the world. And we know we have two voices always talking to us. We got God talking to us, and we got the enemy talking to us. And we got to choose which one we're going to listen to. And I know the enemy sounds awful good. I understand this. Man, the enemy's like that real slick car salesman that you just can't resist. He's charismatic, and he says all the right things. And, man, he's got you in that red Corvette with no payments, you know, for 3 months and zero down. And, oh, you can do it. I got you down, man, to $199 a month, you know, for 563 months. Whatever it is. And it sounds so good. And so he sinks us into that. We see ourselves in that. And then we hear the other voice saying, the rational voice, right? Don't buy that. Don't do that. Don't make a decision. It's not good for your life. And we're like, God, you're no fun. You're a party pooper. The devil sounds a lot better. His ways sound a lot better. But as we know, the ways of the devil do not lead to the right things for our lives. For a moment it may be pleasurable. For a season it may be fun. But then we see the fruit that sin produces. And it's not that God is doing that to us. It's about us making decisions. We choose what to do. We choose to do this. And we choose to go there. And we choose to sow a seed here and sow a seed there. I think about all the time how God, throughout life, God gives us seeds. From the time we have an understanding of life, we have seeds to sow. Maverick, as young as he is, and Hudson, they already have little seeds they can sow. They can sow obedience to their mother, or they can sow disobedience to their mother. They can sow, I will listen to mommy, or I will talk back to mommy. I will clean my room like she said, or I'll ignore her and lay in bed and watch cartoons until she goes off the hook on me. And I'll push every button until I know there's no more to push. Then I'll clean my room. That's what I'll do. We have seeds. And then we get older. We become teenagers. Same thing. I've got seeds to sow. You know, do I sleep with that boy or do I abstain myself? And we make a decision to sleep with that boy. And then we get pregnant. And then here's the fruit of that choice we made. Then we get older. And we start driving and doing other things, and we're out in the world and we're doing things, breaking the law, and then we get arrested. Here, what have we done? We've decided to sow a seed of something that's going to get us arrested, or are we going to choose to live a life and keep, as the old timers say, keep your nose clean? Keep your nose clean, son. Because it sure does matter later, especially. We always have seeds we're sowing, and we are in control. We are the farmer. Sorry. We are the farmer. And all of us have seeds to sow. And everything in life we're doing, we're sowing seeds. You know, for the parents that don't want to make their little kids come to church, well, they woke up and they don't want to come. Look, you're the adult. You're sowing a seed in their life. They might not want to come when they're 16. And you know what? It don't matter at that point. You've sown the seeds and you've done your job, and it's between them and God. But don't let them bully you into saying, well, you made me go to church my whole life. I'm going to hate when I get older. Well, you may, but I don't regret it. I know Jamie said that one time. He said, you made me go to church all the time. That's why. I said, that ain't why you hate it. That ain't why you hate church we made you go all the time. There's other reasons why you hate church. It ain't because of that. And I said, I don't apologize for that at all. I'll never apologize for raising you in the house of God and teaching you God's way. And Jamie is seeing that. He's reading his Bible, he says. You know, he's been reading the book of Job, as I said last week. He told his mom, I've been reading Job. It's Job, honey. He's learning. She'll learn that in Sunday school. But anyway, I don't regret that. And so you sow those seeds. And I know sowing is hard work. We don't like, we just like reaping. That's why we're so lazy now, man. That's why we like going to a big old buffet and just, you know, getting our food, or going to a restaurant and sitting down and everybody else do the work. Clean up, serve, cook. We just sit there and eat. Sowing seeds is hard, especially sowing right seeds is hard, because sometimes you think, I'm not going to see any fruit from that. I don't see anything good. I was talking to a guy this week who's going through a really hard time. He said, I'm trying to do things the right way. I'm trying to stay above board. I'm honoring God. And it seems like he's blessing the evil and cursing the good. And I'm like, man, I feel you. Man, I feel that. I can see why you would see that. And I said, but keep sowing the right seed. I promise you, God is going to honor the seeds of righteousness you are sowing. And it will come out. And you will be honored. And your life will be honored. We don't always see it right now. But keep sowing those seeds. Proverbs 11:14 says this. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Leave it on that verse for a minute. There is safety. In other words, choose to surround yourself with people that can help you. Choose to seek help when you need it. Choose to seek advice when you need it. Make a choice. Don't just say, I'm on this on my own. I'm independent. I'm going to do it my way, myself. That's foolishness. We all need help. There's people I call for help. Everybody needs someone to talk to. Everyone needs someone to pray for them. Everyone needs to hear a word of wisdom. Everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs that. And so choose, as you make new choices, say, this year I'm going to choose to get right counsel around my life that can help sharpen me and feed me and build me up and encourage me, because I'm tired of feeling like I'm weak and I'm empty and I'm a loser, because that's who I hang around. I hang around empty, losing people. So I'm going to make a decision to say, you know what, no more you. I'm cutting you off, and I'm going to make a new decision to make a new choice to produce a new harvest. And that's tough to do, because sometimes that means leaving the garden we plowed and plow a new garden. And that's hard work. But if we want a different crop, you got to sow a different seed. That's all there is to it. If you always just sow tomatoes and watermelons, that's all you ever sow, it's all you go get. But if you ever want squash, if you want something new, this year I'm sowing squash, because I'm tired of just getting these two things. in our lives, if we're tired of being discouraged, we're tired of being messed up, we're just tired of being hopeless, we've got to make a choice to do things to turn that around. It doesn't just happen automatically. It doesn't come automatically. And of course we pray and we seek God, but there's still choices we make. I mean, this is Wednesday night. I know it's a midweek service, and I know it's cold. I know that. But, you know, we have 120, 130 people in this church. And we've got 25 here on Wednesday night. People make a choice. Say, you know, I don't need midweek. It's cold. I've worked. I'm tired. I get that. We got Dee here. Two little kids. Three kids she brought. She goes picks up a kid on Wednesday night. Works full-time job all day long. Has to get three. And we remember them days. Oh, my gosh. Getting three little kids ready for church. After working all day, trying to slam some beanie weenies in them for dinner, and then go pick up a girl and then get them here to church. And basketball practice. Look at that. And they say, yeah, she's young. She can do it. Well, you ain't got no kids. You settle no. Come on, what else you got going on? You ain't got no social life. Come to church. We make choices. And I would love to see our midweek. I know every church midweek's lie. I know that. I get that. But I would love to see our Wednesday night service more filled. When people say, you know what, I need a dose of the word more than just Sunday morning. I want to come Wednesday and hear God's word again and make a choice to say, you know, this year I'm going to make a choice to try to be in church on Wednesday night, to hear the word, and to grow spiritually. It's about choices, not excuses, choices. Next verse, Ashley. This is Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end, therefore, are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to us. We may think it's right. And we're making these choices, and it seems like the right choice, but then the end result is not what we really want. So how do we get a different result? We sow a different seed. We want a different end. We've got to have a different beginning. We've got to rewrite our story. I'm tired of the same old, same old. And if we look back at our life, we'll realize we probably are where we're at because of seeds we've sown, choices we made, and the refusal to make different choices. Different choices are hard. It's easy to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I really got to lose some weight. I don't like how I look. Easy, you know, 70% of Americans probably feel that way. But what's hard is doing something about it. Actually saying, I'm going to make a choice to eat different, to exercise, to abstain from certain things, to control my portion size. We've got those. That's what's hard, but that's what produces a different result. We used Richard Simmons, you know, a few weeks ago. Remember Richard Simmons, the little curly-haired exercise guy? He was a big guy at one time. He was obese, and he went down a little scrawny, 100 pounds? He didn't just go from to this because he wanted it. I just want to be skinny. Help me, Jesus. Let me wake up, God. I'll fast 3 days. Let me lose 20 pounds. I mean, it don't work that way. He had to make a decision to say, you know what? If I'm tired of being fat and I want to be skinny, I've got to make a different choice to get that. If you're tired of being spiritually broken, you got to make a choice to be spiritually fixed. And the way that is you stop doing what you've always done and you do something different. You try something different. Thomas Edison had a quote, and I'm not quoting exactly probably, but to paraphrase, he quoted, talking about the light bulb, took them, you know, 100 different times to get it right or whatever, and they said, you know, you failed 99 times before you got the light bulb right. How's that feel? He said, I didn't fail 99 times. He said, I just found 99 ways it didn't work. It's all about concept. It's all about he kept choosing to keep going, keep going, keep going. He didn't just give up. Everything he tried, those 99 times, he did a little something different, a little something different, a little something different. And then finally, hallelujah, right here it is. Thanks, Thomas. It finally worked because he kept making choices until it came to pass. Next scripture. Is that a different one? It's pretty much the same verse. It had two verses in Proverbs that said almost the same thing, but I put them both up there to reemphasize. Yeah, take it back if you can. This is Proverbs 16:12, I believe. And it said almost the same verse, 16:25. Says it again, different chapter. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end, therefore, are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right to us. You know, there's a way. The world thinks that, a lot of the world thinks there is no God. They believe in science. You know, there's no heaven. There's no afterlife. You know, there's no big creator. Prayer doesn't work. Prayer doesn't really change anything. I saw some quotes today on your, did you see your post that you shared on the Kentucky Post? Prayers for Kentucky. Do you see some of those comments under there? It was so disheartening. Shirley had tagged a thing about Pray for Kentucky because of the shooting you probably heard about. There was a 15-year-old girl and boy that was killed in a school shooting in Kentucky. And people are saying pray for Kentucky. And there's all these comments on there. I started reading them saying, what good is prayer going to do? Prayer don't do nothing. Let's really do something. Let's do something that really works. You know, what prayer is not going to bring them back. Prayer is not going to do this. Let's really do something to make. And I just seen all this negativity denouncing that. And I know what people are saying in a sense that, you know what, we need to do our part to try to be more safe. But to denounce that prayer doesn't work and prayer doesn't make a difference. You know, what seems right to a man is, let's not pray. Let's just go kick some hind end. And that's what they're saying. Let's not pray. Let's do something that we can control. That may seem right in the moment, but the ways of that lead to death. People that say, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in the Creator, don't believe in Jesus, don't believe in this, blah, blah, they can deny that and reject that. It might seem right to them. It don't make sense. Why would a man come? Why would all this happen? Why would there be a cross, raised third day, virgin birth? I have a hard time believing all that, so I don't. That's their choice. But then the end result is what? Death. Because we realize that our only redemption is in Christ. We reject that truth. There's nothing else left. So it may seem right to reject God in the natural because we're so smart now and we've got so much technology now that we can see all this stuff we couldn't see 100 years ago. So they're not a God because I've learned now it's all about intelligence and science and, you know, all the stuff that we know as man. It seems maybe right to them, but the end result is death in the very end. All about choices. Galatians 6 and 7. This will be 7, 8, and 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Now the seed soweth is the seed, and reap is the result. Whatever we sow, which is our choice, we reap, which is our result. Choice, result. I choose this, I get this. I make this decision, and this happens. We all make choices every day that can alter our futures. Every day. So we have to say, God, give me the wisdom to make right choices. Let me make new choices this year. Let me have a fresh start because all decisions I've made the last year, the last few years, the last few months, whatever, man, it ain't working. Something's not right. Something's not gelling. So I want to sow a different seed. I want to make a different choice because I realize that my harvest is completely attached to my seed. The result of my harvest is completely hinged to the choice that I'm making. And we make those choices, and we have the power to make those choices. You know, people talk about peer pressure, and I get that. I know peer pressure is real, but, man, we got to be ourselves. We got to rise up and say, you know what? I'm not going to let you pull me into something I don't want to do. It's just that simple. I said no, and I mean no. Like me or don't like me, but no, I'm not going to make a choice in something I don't believe in just to try to gain your attention in my life. If I know it's not right, I'm not going to sow that seed. And be who God made you to be. Because you've got the power to say yes and no. Yay or nay. Go or stop. That's under your control completely. And it's time that we start saying, I'm going to direct my choices. And I'm going to place them strategically where they belong. So that I can get a different result in my life. It's a fresh start, it's a new year, and I'm tired of it always being like this. It's going to always be like that until you make a different choice, until you do something to change it. He that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Leave it right there a minute. I want to point out these two things. You sow the flesh. You choose not to listen to God, leads to death. You choose to listen to God, it leads to life. How many times do we want to take back choices we made? Church, I do so many times I wish I could reverse choices that I made. We can't change anything from the past, but we can move forward today and begin to make new choices today. Say, I'm going to do it different, God. I'm going to read your word daily. I'm going to talk to you more regular. I'm going to pray more regular. God, I want to serve more regular. I'm going to get involved with your kingdom, Lord. I'm going to do something different, out of the box. In fact, I'm going to talk a little bit Sunday about I really want to see the church as a whole. We do have a lot of people who do a lot of things, but I really want to see the church get involved in serving. It's about the church and God's people rising up and serving and becoming really part of what God is doing here. Not just up to the pastor, it's up to the body as well, to be the hands and the feet and the mouth, and for us to get involved and make a choice. Say, you know what, I'm going to get out of my box and do something maybe I've never done before and see what God does with that. Just choose to say, you know what, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to step out and do something maybe I'm not even comfortable with, but I feel that God is calling me to this, or I want to make a difference, so I'm going to trust God with this and serve in a way I've never served before. And choose something different and do something you've never done before. And I guarantee you'll get a different result. As a pastor, I'm always trying to, you know, of course, hear from God and go where God wants me, and I want to be used in whatever way he wants to use me, whether he sends me to the jailhouse, you know, to a prison, if he sends me to the hospitals or nursing homes or hospice or in the street. I mean, I prayed with a guy years ago in his car in Mooresville, called me at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, had a cocaine, drug addiction, and he was crying on the phone with me, and his wife's about to leave him, and, you know, I got up, went down the middle of the night to Mooresville, we sat in his car for an hour and talked down there, took his hand, prayed with him. You know, those are the moments that are out of the box. Those are the moments that you're like, God, just, you know, I want to make a decision, a choice to sow a seed that can bring a result in someone's life. There's no glory in that for me, but there's glory in it for God. There's no really fruit in it for me, but technically there's fruit in it for God, for him and for God. And that's what we should be doing, is sowing those seeds and making those decisions. If you're always saying no to stuff, try saying yes. See what God does with that. Try saying yes. Lord, this year I want to make a choice to do something. Instead of always saying no, I'm going to make a choice to say yes. And see what that does. And I guarantee you'll see something different from God you've not seen before. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now look at this. Let us not be weary in well-doing. The well-doing means that we got to sow, right? We got to make choices. We choose to sow. We choose to make right choices. And as we keep doing that, we will reap when it's our season. It's going to come to pass. God is going to bring it into your life. It's a new year, 2018, the first month of a new year. New choices. Break the routine of what you've always done and do something different. One more passage. I think I want you one more scripture. I got another quote at the end. This is Matthew. This is Jesus talking. And I love this analogy that Jesus uses here. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now, to me, this is key. We're not talking about law or works. We're talking about just obeying God. Him that hears me and does them. A lot of us hears God. We just don't do God. You know, I hear you, Lord. But how long are we going to run from something God is calling us to before we finally just give in? Say, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Him that heareth these sayings and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why did it not fall? For it was founded upon a rock. Leave it there. It was founded on a rock. Jesus is saying, choose to hear me and choose to follow me, and you'll be like this house that when the storms of life come, and they do, every day they come in some sort, the storms of life come, our seasons change, the winds are blowing, the rain is falling, our world is caving in. We are finding ourselves in a distraught, desperate, hopeless situation. If we are built, if we choose to build our life on the foundation of God, when those storms come, though we may be a little bit wet, a little bit shaken, a little bit fluttered, we will not fall and we will not fail because we have chosen to listen to God and plant ourselves on His Word. It's a choice we make how we build our house. Just like contractors, they take they take cheap tricks to cut out costs. Maybe don't build the foundation right, or they cheap out on the roof a little bit, or some of the framework, and then it may look good and pretty and be cheaper now, but then later, when the three little pigs come by and blowing and huffing and puffing on your house, and it falls down, you got your eyeballs are that big. I thought, this house ain't but 3 years old, but it wasn't built right. You chose to cut corners now to save a buck to have a disaster later. We make choices every day to have pleasure now, but then to have destruction later. Little bit of pleasure here, but a lot of darkness there. A little bit of good time now, but a lot of bad time tomorrow. It's choices we make. Choices. Next verse. Everyone that heareth these, now he gives the contrast. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. In other words, those that hear me but don't follow me, they choose not to do what I say, not to follow my word, shall be like a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now think about it. Y'all have all been to the beach. You cannot hardly walk on sand. I mean, not the fluffy kind, but the packed down kind, you're okay when it's wet. Well, it's still not really. It's still mushy. You can put your little toe print in it. Anyway, you've walked on the beach, and you can't get a good grip on the beach. You're sliding, and it's not comfortable to walk on sand because you're mushing, and it slows you up, and you're dragging. It's just not comfortable. Think about your house being built on that. What's the sand always doing? It's always shifting. It's always moving. A rock don't move. Man, you can't move that boulder. That big old boulder, try to move that thing. You can't move it with your hands. But sand, you can pick it up and just blows. And there's no foundation to it. There's no stability to it. He's saying the man that chooses not to follow me and listen to what I got to say is like a foolish man who builds his life on a place that's always shifting and always changing, and there's no stability, there's no foundation, there's no grounding. And then look what he says happens. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, unlike the first house that nothing happened to it, this house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. Two houses, two choices. God, I build my life on your word and your foundation. God, I don't build my life on your word and your foundation, and I'll do it my way. God's way is a solid life. It doesn't mean it's a perfect life. It doesn't mean we don't have storms and tragedies and trial and tribulation, but it does mean this, that in those times, God holds us above the storm. He holds us above, and he says, peace, be still, and the winds and the waves, they have to obey because our life is grounded on that rock. But when we're on the sand, we are at the mercy of every wave, every tide, every blow of wind. We're at the mercy of that shifting by every storm because we are not grounded and we don't have that foundation of God's arm holding us in place. Two choices and two very different results. One house stands, one house falls. One life founded and grounded, and one life sinking and slipping away. One life with power and peace and joy, and one life with grief and sorrow and hopelessness. One life with the light of God shining, and one light with no light at all. One life right here that says, no matter what comes, I'm more than a conqueror, and we are. And another life that says, everything that hits me tears me down because we made a decision not to do it God's way. There's things in life. Foundations in life. There's principles in life for a reason that make things so much easier when we do it God's way. Man, God's got a way lined up in his word that if we'll just follow what he says to do, what he speaks to us to do, that we will see a result far different than other people because they will call us blessed, as the Bible says. Why do they call us blessed? Because I've chosen to make my life grounded on the Lord and Savior. I've chosen it. One more quote here. This is by Stephen Covey, who's an author. I've got a couple of his books, actually. He's a businessman, author, keynote speaker. He actually wrote the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. We are free to choose our actions, but we are not free to choose the consequences of these actions. Think about that. Yeah, you can do what you want. Make any decision you want. Man, Jamie and Nikki go on that cruise. They could choose, and please don't say if you did. I do not want to know. They could have chose to got pl- plastered drunk in the Congo line and started stripping off clothes and having a good old time. But when that comes out on YouTube 10 years later, don't you blame Carnival. You made that choice. And the way they're laughing, I'm a little bit worried. You made that choice on that cruise to do those things. So, yeah, woo, I'm out here in the ocean. Nobody knows, man, what stays on Carnival or what happens on Carnival stays on Carnival. No, it don't. Not with social media no more. No, it don't. Because those consequences from those choices. See, our consequences match our choices. They match them. We sow good, we receive good. We sow evil, we receive evil. Think about the person that worked, lays out all the time, don't have to come in, always late, right? They get fired. Whose fault's that? They made a choice to be lazy. They made a choice to call in all the time. They made a choice to always be late. Not the boss. They made that decision. And when I talk to people, when I was a manager, so I'd always tell people that, look, don't be mad at me. I mean, I'm writing you up because you did this. I didn't do it. You made a decision not to be here. You made a decision to steal. You made a choice to do that. And now here's the consequence. You're free to make any choice you want, but you're not free from the consequence that comes with that choice. I think it's a very powerful statement, a very powerful quote. It's a new year, new choices. Every choice has a result. This year, say, God, I want to make different choices, to have new results and a new life. I want 2018 to be different than 2017, and that only comes by you doing it differently than you did last year. It only comes differently. I went with Gail to lunch today, went to Village Inn, and I did not do salad today, by the way. I didn't even touch the lettuce bar. Didn't even touch it. Went straight to pizza. And I realized that was a bad decision. It was good at the time, brother. Real good. But I realized that wasn't good for my health and my belly. It's not going to help my cause and my goal whatsoever. But I can't blame Gail for asking me a lunch. Because you know what? I could have just got a salad. I could have chose just to get a salad bar and a water. But I chose the pizza and a sweet tea. That's what I chose. They are, but you can do it separately. There have been times I actually went there and just got a salad. I was a good boy and just got a salad. But today was not one of those days. I was free to choose to eat all that pizza, but I'm not free from the Tums I'll be using tonight. That's the consequence. It's amazing, spiritually, how we blame God for things whenever he's like, look, I give you my word, I give you this direction, I give you my voice, I speak to you. Just listen. Man, we're like 15-year-olds, right? 15-year-old teenagers. Mama tells you. How many times you tell Belen and Anthony stuff they didn't listen to you? You told them stuff, didn't listen. Didn't do your instruction, didn't obey what you said, didn't take your advice, did it their way. And most time that didn't work out real good, did it, doing it their way? Because they know better.
I have that same quote on my refrigerator.
Do you really? Very good. Yeah, good. You see that quote real good, Ashley, right? All right. Read it out loud, Ashley, one more time. Read it loud, I can hear you.
Here. Read it. It's my 15-year-old reading this. I want you to read it.
Hey, guys. We are free to choose our actions, but we are not free to choose the consequences of the actions.
You understand that?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That. That's exactly right. You get pulled by a cop with drug in your car, you made a choice to have drug in your car. Try telling the cop, hey man, I'm free to carry these drugs all I want, man. It's America, baby. I'm free. Okay. Step on out. You're free to make that choice, but buddy, hands behind your back. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say will come against you in court, da-da-da. Yes, you do. It's far from free. You'll be paying a lot of stuff for that. But you're not free of the consequence. So that's a great quote to close out on. Anybody got anything to add to it tonight? Any comments before we close out? We'll do one more part next week for January. We got another Wednesday in January? Yeah, one more. Yeah. We'll do part four. We'll close out our series of fresh starts next week. I'm not going to send YouTube videos anytime soon, right? Okay. Oh, the wolf. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. At that deep, incredible message, that's all you got out of it. Okay. Thank you for being kind and gracious. Yes, it was the wolf, not the pig. The pigs live there. The wolf, the big bad wolf. I got you. All right. Anybody have anything more encouraging? Huh? Oh. She's getting along well in Texas? Good. What kind of job is she doing? She got put in a place in a job yet? Like a regular job? A dentist office. Awesome. That's great. That's yeah, I'm proud of her. All right. Well, let's stand up. We'll close out in prayer.